child sleeping, home everlasting, in thee praise be God, to bear every burden, to heal every heart in your heart. It is a wonderful, powerful place, where there is she is not coming back. Our hearts begin to fall and our stability grows weak. But Jesus meets our needs. If only we believe, where there is faith, there is a voice calling, keep walking, you're not alone in this world. Where there is faith, there is a peace like a child sleeping, home everlasting, in thee praise be God, to bear
I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die, but have eternal life.
Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, the Holy Spirit, they will rest from their labor.
Thus says the Lord, as one whom his mother comforts, so shall I comfort you, and you shall be comforted. Please join together as we all sing hymn number 256, The Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you.
God is near to all who call from their hearts. The desires of those who fear God are fulfilled and their cries are heard. Dear friends and family of our dear departed Cindy, we've gathered here this morning in the protective shelter of God's healing love. This is the place where we are free to pour out our grief. This is where we release our anger. This is where we face our emptiness. But it's also the place where we have come to remember that God cares. We gather here as God's people, conscious of others who have died and even of the frailty of our own existence here on earth. And we've come to comfort and support one another in a loss we all feel. We're gathered here to hear God's words of hope, for they are the only thing that can drive away our despair and move us to offer God our praise. And we've come together to commend to God with thanksgiving the life of Cynthia Louise Barnes as we celebrate the good news of Christ's resurrection. For whether we live or whether we die, we belong to Christ because he is the Lord of both the living and the dead. Let's bow our heads as we pray together. Father God, your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, so that he may intercede for us with sighs that are too deep for human words. Heal our wounded hearts that have been made so heavy with our sorrow. And through the veil of our tears and the silence of our emptiness, assure us again that ear has not heard or eye seen or human imagination envisioned what you have prepared for those who love you. In Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. Hear these words that are an adaptation of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born. Cynthia Louise Unger was born April 25th, 1959 in West Reading. A daughter of Jeanette Homan Unger and Robert C. Unger, and a time to die, Cindy entered the church triumphant January 31st, 2015. A time to plant. When she graduated from Reading Senior High School, and a time to uproot when in 1988 she moved to New Ringgold. A time to tear down and gut that old house in New Ringgold, and a time to build and redecorate while carrying a child. A time to weep, leaving a career in cosmetology behind, but a time to laugh with a new career at Gross Filet. Time to mourn, changing her career to A.J. Boyd, and a time to dance, still working for the Three Musketeers and meeting the love of her life at the same place. A time to grieve, the loss of her beloved Bruno, and a time to heal with Cuddly Tucker. A time to scatter stones, coaching young girls in the sport of cheerleading, and a time to gather them tirelessly working as Booster Club president and tag youth leader. A time to embrace a beautiful little girl. And a time to refrain watching her grow up and drive a car and search for a college and become a godly young woman. A time to search for the cure for a beloved dad. And a time to give up saying goodbye to him just 5 short months ago. A time to keep coupons and flyers and points, and a time to utilize what you've been given by shopping till you drop and getting up ridiculously early on Black Friday. A time to tear the youngest Sunday school children away from their crazy exuberance, and a time to mend, teaching them to quietly sit and learn about Jesus, the only one that can calm the storms that will come in their lives. A time to be silent, considering all perspectives as a deacon in the church. And a time to speak by tossing her car keys on the table to end the meeting that had gone on too long. A time to love God, Joe, Christy, church, family, friends, and girls getaways at the beach. And a time to hate the tragedy that robbed her of her life. A time for war, fighting the battle of her life to stay with us. And a time for peace that is now hers in the presence of her Lord. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. Whatever is has already been, and whatever will be has been before. And God will call the past to account. Please turn to number 588 in your hymnal as we sing one of Cindy's favorites, In the Garden. Thank you. Our Old Testament scripture reading is taken from the book of Joel, chapter 2. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. New Testament reading from 2 Corinthians. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if this earthly tent that we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. They came to Capernaum. When Jesus was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." And finally, a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. For in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it.
Last Sunday after church, found myself going to Facebook to look for pictures of Cindy. Sometimes we often do that when someone we love passes on, and the looking at those pictures helps us to remember the good times that we had. So I went to Cindy's page, went to the pictures, and this is the first one that I saw of Cindy. I remember taking that picture, and as usual, when I tried to get a picture of Cindy, she turned her head at just the right time, and I couldn't get her face. Then I saw this picture. Same day, same place. I tried it again, and I failed again. Now, I don't know if you noticed it, but many of the pictures on the slideshow and the display board are ones where someone surprised her, or she was in the background of someone else's picture. She was like the photo avoidance ninja. Then there were these pictures. Pictures with her family, the youth group. There she's at Creation, probably rocking out the skillet, helping rake leaves. Again at the youth group. Oh, there she is supporting the youth while they're trying to make a pyramid. Again with Christy, having some fun. This is a skillet concert. Cindy loved skillet. More pictures of her in the background there. You see her in the background with Danny there in the front. In the background at the beach when J2O, the praise band here, went down there for a summer trip. There's Joe. I have an arrow there pointing because I just imagine that Cindy's probably over there somewhere. She's tagged in the photo. So. You know, as I looked at the pictures of Cindy, sometimes hiding her face to avoid the camera as she was volunteering for the church, sometimes rocking out at a concert, or just hanging out with the youth group, sometimes supporting Blue Mountain Cheerleading, sometimes proudly beaming with her family, I began to see a bigger picture of Cindy than what could be found in these individual pictures. A collective image of her life that was so much more than the sum of her individual involvements. But before we get there, I need to go back to one of our scriptures from earlier. Mark 9:33-37. In this passage, Jesus and his disciples had just passed through Galilee and they had arrived at Capernaum. And on the way, Jesus was trying to tell his disciples how it was going to go down in Jerusalem, how he was going to be taken and killed, how he would rise again in 3 days. But they didn't get it. Instead, on the long hike, they started to argue amongst themselves about who was going to be the greatest disciple when Jesus became king. And we'll pick it up here at verse 33. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had been arguing about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." So these guys are jockeying for positions of authority over men. And here Jesus is telling them that if they want to be great, if they want to be first, then they need to be a servant to all. Imagine what they must have been thinking. You know, it's no different in today's world. To be the greatest means to be better than others, to be above others, to be the boss, to be the one in charge. When I think about who is the greatest, or at least the one who proclaimed himself to be the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali comes to mind. Remember him? Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee? Of course you do. He was the greatest, right? At least that's what he said. And if you don't remember a lot of what he said, we have the internet now, where you can look up all the things the greatest said about himself. Like, "My only fault is that I don't realize how great I really am." Or, "I am the greatest. I said that even before I knew it." And it's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am. Now, these quotes from Muhammad Ali certainly seem to support the notion that being greatest means being better than everyone else. But maybe you haven't heard these other quotes from Muhammad. "I am an ordinary man who has worked hard to develop the talent I was given. I believed in myself, and I believe in the goodness of others." Or, I wish people would love everybody else the same way they love me. It would be a better world. And at home, I am a nice guy. But I don't want the world to know. Humble people, I've found, don't get very far. Even the greatest of all time knew deep down inside that being the greatest by being above everyone else isn't all it's cut out to be. How sad is it to think that Muhammad Ali, who wanted to be humble, felt that he could not be humble in order to get ahead in the world. Yet, that is how the world operates, right? About 2 years ago, I gave a book on Christian leadership to one of the young men who had grown up as a member in our youth group. And he was then, and today he's an army medic. And at the time, he was thinking about becoming an adult, a young adult volunteer. So I gave him this book for students or teenage leaders by Doug Fields called Help, I'm a Student Leader. It was my personal copy that I used for training students on how to be a leader. So it has all these notations and lines marking where all the good parts are to read. So I gave it to him to read. He came back a few weeks later and we discussed what he had read. He was genuinely in awe, I think is the right word. He was perplexed, yes. He was dumbfounded, yes. But he was in awe of what he had learned. He'd always thought that leadership is about being in charge, about being the boss and telling other people what to do. He had never imagined this concept of servant leadership, of leading by serving. The world will tell you that to be greatest, you have to be the best. To be first, you have to be the boss. You have to be the one in charge. But that is not how God operates. That is not how God determines who is the greatest, who is the first. Remember, Jesus said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. And that is not the only time we hear this message. 1 Peter 4:8-10. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Galatians 5:13-14. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And 1 Timothy 3:13. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. And that's just a few examples. There are many, many more. Now, this is where we come back to Cindy. As I looked at those pictures of her, often in the background, always trying to avoid the camera, working as a volunteer, loving youth group kids, loving her family, I began to see a bigger picture of Cindy than what could be found in those individual pictures. A collective image of her life that was so much more than the sum of her individual involvements. I could see an image of Cindy as the model of a Christ-centered servant leader. A woman who gave herself to serve and support everyone around her. Many of you are here today because you knew her through her involvement in the Blue Mountain Cheerleading Booster Club. She was president for the first 3 years of her daughter Christy's high school career and vice president for the last year. Now, that might sound like positions of authority, but those titles can really be translated into servant and vice servant. She served the girls of the cheerleading squad, their parents, their coaches. She served by setting up fundraisers, handling senior nights, running meetings, and many, many other tasks. She served as the connection between the parents and the coaches. Here at Christ Church, she had quite a few roles. She was a Sunday school teacher for our young children, and they all loved her. A grandmother of one of the children posted this on City's online guestbook. She was instrumental in making my grandson's first day at Sunday school a less frightening experience, for which I am grateful. I was told she took him by the hand and smiled. It meant so much to his mother. You remember the last few lines of the verses in Mark that we read earlier, 36-37? He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Well, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." In Cindy's humble service as a Sunday school teacher, She welcomed many little children in Jesus' name here at Christ Church. Cindy was a youth leader for our youth group, where she served in all kinds of ways. She came to Creation Fest almost every year, where she became a fan of Skillet, the Christian rock band that was featured on the slideshow. By the way, that song, that was one of the quieter and calmer songs from Skillet. Most of them are much louder and rockier. She came to Friday Night Youth Nights, where she talked to some of the girls, played board games with them, hanging out, talking, and sharing the love of Christ with teens by teaching them in small groups discussions and by showing that she cared enough to just be there and be their friend. And she was always there to help with our hectic but fun sub-making days. Our main fundraiser is making subs. We start at 7 a.m. and work till 11 or 12 to put together hundreds of subs that have been ordered. Cindy was faithful to be there and help make the subs. Even when she had other things going on, she would say to me, "I have a lot to do that Saturday, Mark, but if you need me, I'll be there." I remember one time especially when I needed her and she stepped out from the background to take charge. When my dad died a few years ago, we were scheduled to make subs in the on that Sunday that his funeral was also scheduled. Hundreds of subs were ordered and they had to be made. Because I'm the one in charge, but not the greatest, I had it in my mind that I would just have to be there making subs in the morning and then come over for the funeral smelling like onions. But I never had to do that. Cindy stepped up and she said to the youth group, "We need to take this away from Mark." And together they did. While we were having the viewing over here, Cindy, the other youth leaders, and students were over in the youth building making subs. And we didn't have to worry about a thing. They had it covered. Cindy volunteered to serve at just about every function, fundraiser, and ministry that we have here. In addition to what I already mentioned, there was also children's church, chicken barbecues, peach festivals, strawberry festivals, you name it. And she was likely to be found serving there. Cindy was also a consistory member for many years, where she served the church by giving up 2 to 3 hours of the second Tuesday every month. She was faithful to her responsibility. And it was a rare occurrence when she wasn't here to end the night with the jingling of her keys and a motion to adjourn. In 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul says, "In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if nothing is against them, let them serve as deacons. A deacon must be faithful to his wife or her husband, and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus." Cindy certainly met Paul's requirements for a deacon, in character and in service to her family. As a daughter, she took care of and visited her mother in the nursing home and took her father down to visit her mother there every Friday. As a sibling, Cindy was best friends with her sister, doing so much together that their own daughters became more like sisters themselves than cousins. As a mother, she devoted 18 years of her life to raising and nurturing her beautiful daughter. I know Christy. Cindy must have had a lot of patience in those years. And proof of that is that she taught Christy how to drive. Stick. As a wife, she served her husband for 25 years. In an era where most marriages last about 8 years, that is quite an accomplishment. You don't stay married for that long without adopting a mutual attitude of service to one another. In Ephesians 5, we see the often quoted advice for husbands and wives. And I don't often use this version, but I'm going to read this one from the Message version because I think this more clearly states what's intended here and in our own modern language. Verses 21 to 23. "Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing." In verse 25, "Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting." Cindy loved, understood, supported, and served her husband faithfully for 25 years. And in all her years of service, she served quietly, humbly, and often in the background. Someone once asked Nobel Prize winner Dr. Albert Schweitzer, who is currently the greatest person in the world? He answered, some unknown person who's doing the work of love. Well, Cindy certainly wasn't unknown, as you can see from all in attendance here today. Many of us know her in very different ways, from very different parts of her life. Many have traveled great distances to be here today. Cindy certainly wasn't unknown, yet she wouldn't be counted among the greatest people in the world, at least not by the world standard. But her life of humble service, service and love to her family, to her church, to her school, to her work, and to her God, has no doubt earned her a place of honor in heaven. We have no doubt that in heaven today, Cindy is counted among the greatest, among the first. Because what God looks for is not an impressive resume of great accomplishments, but a long record of service to God's children. God's ways are not our ways, and God's notions of what constitutes greatness are far different than ours. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, we thank you for the time we have had with Cindy here on this earth. In this time, she has shown us, through her example of servant leadership, how to be great in your eyes. Help us to continue her legacy by going out from here today with a different attitude about what it means to be the greatest, to be the first. Give us strength, we pray, to be servants to all we encounter. Grant us peace in our hearts so that we can lay down our pride and serve even those that hate us, as you served us all, by giving your life for us while we still hated you. Keep us humble, Lord, so that we can get down on our hands and knees and serve those who have fallen and need you the most. And give us joy, so that we can play and sing and love all your children from ages 0 to 100. We ask all this in the name of the one who gave us the perfect example of servant leadership, your love, perfect love. Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And now I believe Cindy's sister Deb would like to say a few words.
Cindy was my sister. I tried to write something down to say, and all I got as far as was writing her name down. It got very hard. She's my best friend. She's my partner in crime. She's our daughter, my daughter, and her daughter's best friend, and we just did a lot of stuff together. And I'm going to miss her dearly. She was wonderful in church. She loved her church. She loved her cheerleaders. She loved her school. She spoke very freely about every single one of, I'm seeing people today that introduced themselves to me that I have heard their names and many times and all very good things on what type of person they are and what Cindy had touched them with. So she's just a wonderful person. And no, I'm not anywhere close to what my sister is. She just was there for everybody. She was my rock when my dad died. The two of us got through it together. Had a lot of fun times doing it, even with the girls, cleaning out the apartment and finding things that we never knew they had. And actually, the funniest thing I think we found was a pair of silk stockings that were the old garter type that my mom and unused in the drawer. And we just stood there and laughed when we found them, totally untouched. There's just all kinds of little things, and that's what's going to be missed. But Three Musketeers will now keep doing things together instead of the four, but the fourth one will always be in our hearts. And Cindy, till we meet again, I love you dearly.
We believe and we know in our hearts that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we do know that in everything, God works for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And we are sure that neither death or life or angels or principalities, not things present, not things to come, not powers or height or depth or anything else in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Merciful Father God, we thank you for your word. It is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. And we thank you especially that in the night of our grief and in the shadow of our sorrow that we have not been left by ourselves. That we have the light of your promises to sustain and comfort us. Through our tears, give us a fresh vision to see in faith the consolation you intend for those who love you. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. You are the giver of life, and you are the conqueror of death. We take time this day to give you thanks for the life of Cindy. We thank you for all that she was to all of us. We praise you for your steadfast love that you showed for her all the days of her earthly life. She meant so much to those of us who loved her. But we thank you, Father, that for Cindy now all sickness and sorrow have ended, and that death is even past, and that she has entered the home where all of your people gather in peace. We pray that you would keep those of us who have now been left behind in communion with your faithful people in every time and place, so that at last we too may rejoice together in the heavenly family, where Jesus Christ reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Father God, by your mighty power you gave us life, and in your love you have given us new life in Jesus Christ, who died and rose again to save us, and who is even now alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit in glory forever. Now let your servant go in peace. Recognize, we pray, a sheep of your own fold, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy and into the blessed rest of everlasting peace. Amen. And now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us that which is pleasing to him. Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.